Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your greatness, oh God, and your love upon us. Holy Spirit, we ask you just, we know you're here, but we just ask you to hover and just speak to our hearts as you continue to lead us into a deeper revelation of truth, who is Jesus himself. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Russ says, we're going into this series of how to be a fire starter and not use matches and gasoline.
No, we didn't say pyromaniac.
Today we want to speak about passion. And the word passion is to desire intensely. And we want to speak about passion for God. Let's keep it clear. But it says here, passion is expressed as hunger and thirst. Now Psalm 42:1 says, and this is David speaking, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And Psalm 143:6 says, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. So if you could imagine like the desert or just very dry ground and any bit of water that falls on it, it just sucks it right up, right? And so David is making that connection there that his soul is so hungry for God that anything about God and who God is and his presence just sucks it right in. And then, of course, in Psalm 42:1, as I just read, he talks about as the deer searches for the water, desires the water, so his soul searches for God and the presence of God. The thing is, though, that this doesn't happen naturally. I think I just got this the other day as I was going over this stuff. You know, we read this and we think that this is automatic. Like, oh, well, my soul, you know, we say it, we sing it, right, the old song. And we think that it's automatic, that our soul just hungers and thirsts for God. But it doesn't happen. It's not. It's not something that happens naturally. It's something that we have to bring our soul into this place. The soul being the mind, the will, and the emotions, if I'm correct.
Yep.
Right? We have to bring our soul into this place of hunger and thirst for God. We have to train ourselves. Mm. We have to be led of the Spirit. Our spirit is who we are, following the Holy Spirit, and then bring our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions into this place of hungering for God, of thirsting for God, of wanting more of God. This is not just something that's automatic. Like we read it there and we say it, it's like, oh, it's automatic. And we have to train ourselves and bring ourselves into this place. So with that, I want everybody here to, let's make a declaration. We ready? Okay, one person is ready.
Marie is ever ready.
That's it. My spirit and soul, thirst for God, and He fills me. He's faithful.
Yes.
All right, so hunger and thirst attract heaven. Mm-hmm. So as we desire more of God, and though we have His fullness in us, there's always more of God. So as we hunger for more of Him, then He pours out more, right? Faithful with the little, you'll be faithful with the more. It pretty much applies to everything. Even our desire for more of God and more revelation and more encounters with Him. So in Matthew 5:6, it says, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Again, it's, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God is going to fill you. God will pour it into you. And Psalm 107:9 says, He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Again, there's the scripture that points that if we are desiring it, if we are going after it, God is faithful to pour it into us and to give it to us. So if we want the more of God, we must go after it. It has to be our heart's desire and top priority. Again, we have to bring ourselves into this place where we have to. It's like Moses. I'm sure he was busy like all of us. Right? He's working. He's out there in the desert tending sheep, looking for lost sheep, whatever. But he had to step aside when he saw the burning bush. He had to make that choice. And it's like us. We have to step outside of our busy schedules or whatever is going on in our lives, and we have to make that choice to step aside, to be in His presence, to take the time to listen to His voice, to take the time to train ourselves and open ourselves up to want more of Him and desire more of Him. And as we do so, God is faithful enough, is faithful, and He will feed us. There's another declaration. Jesus satisfies my spiritual hunger.
Jesus satisfies my spiritual hunger.
But I'm always hungry for more of Him.
I'm always hungry for more of Him.
Oh, I just had the same dream.
Oh. Cool. We can have as much of God as we want to.
That's true.
You know, John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be or go thirsty. So, again, as we partake of God in His presence, there's always more. There's always more given to us. There's, you know, it's like a oxymoron, I guess. You know, it's like we want more. And we're full of Him, but then there's always more of Him. And the more we want, and the more we desire, and the more we go after, the more He pours in. And it's like that circle, almost like, you know, and then we want more, and He puts, you know? All right, you get the point. All right, so a couple questions. How do we develop a desire for more? Okay. Good, good. Anybody else? How do we do?
The more time I spend with this woman, the more of her that I desire. So the more time we hang out with the Lord, the more we just desire to be with
Him. Amen. Amen. Good stuff.
Just repeat that so for the tape.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to repeat it for the tape because it was just that good.
Of course.
Joe said the more time he spends with his wife, the more he desires her. So, in like manner, the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we're going to desire of Him.
Amen.
Anybody else? Any other examples? Something, you know, that you do maybe, or something that comes to mind. Anybody else has a different example? Or different way of spending time with the Lord, but, you know, examples. Anybody has an example?
During worship.
Worship. Okay, cool. Good stuff. It's all good stuff. It's all true. By spending that time with Him, you know, and just allowing Him to love Him and allowing us to love Him and allowing Him to love on us. Okay. So, as we were saying, there is always more God available, right? Paul spoke about God's love, and he said, who can measure the depths and the height and the width and the length of your love? It's unmeasurable, and God Himself is unfathomable.
It's true.
You know, because there's always more of God. And though we come into a realization or revelation that God loves us because of what He did on the cross, and that brings us into salvation, because His love is so huge and large that you can't measure it, you can't, you know, say here it is, because it's so big, then there's always a greater revelation of His love for us. It's not just the cross. That's something that we get at the beginning, but then it's so big that there's always a greater revelation of His love.
Yes.
And there's always a greater revelation of His truth, and there's always a greater revelation of His freedom, and so on and so forth.
Amen.
So Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So most, you know, says what I've had, you know, I'm not there yet, but the way that I keep going forward is I forget what's behind me and I keep going for the more. I keep going for what's ahead, what God has for me now, and what, you know, tomorrow will be like what He has for me now, and like that. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled continually with the Spirit. So basically, with that is, You know, we can't depend on yesterday's manna. We can't depend on yesterday's revelation. As great as it may have been, there's always more the Lord wants to show us. There's always more that deeper that He wants to take us into. And, you know, for some of us might be revelations of His love. For somebody else might be revelations of who He is. And for another person might be a revelation of His character. But there's always a more that what He's drawing us to and putting us into to take us deeper into that. So we can't rely on, wow, that was, had a great time of worship, you know, yesterday. Or I had a great revelation of John 3:16, you know what I'm saying, yesterday, last year. And just camp out because there's always more.
Yes.
And we must, you know, a lot of times we read Ephesians 3:13 and we think it's like the bad stuff. Well, forget the bad stuff and I just go for the, you know, what's ahead of me. And yeah, we do need to do that too. But we also can apply that to even the good stuff because as great as it was,
yeah,
it's yesterday's manna. Yeah. You know, we got to press in and we got to go forward for today's manna. Mm. And tomorrow we got to go, you know, for that manna. That revelation. Now here in Ephesians 5:18, the word "be filled" is a present tense verb, which is in the Greek language it reflects a continuous sense. So basically, anybody seen sailboats before? Movies at least, something, right?
A sailboat?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What do you think I said?
That's an inside joke right there.
All right. So, a sailboat, right? The sail is an open sail, and the wind blows it and kind of fills it and pushes it. But if you notice, it never stops filling. There's never a point while that wind is blowing that sail stops taking in wind. It opens up, it fills up, but there's always a continuous filling of it. It stays always taking in more. It stays full. You know, it never comes to a point where it's like full and it's like the boat stops moving or the sail closes up. It always stays more and there's always, as long as that wind is blowing, that sail is receiving and taking in. And that's what the word means when it says be filled. It's a continuous filling. It's not like, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm good. But there's a, you know what I'm saying? I speak in tongues. I'm good. You know? There's always more. There's always more infilling. The Bible is encouraging us, inviting us to continue to take of the Holy Spirit, to stay open, and to continue to receive, and to continue to take in. So like that cell, we just expand and just take it in and move forward. Take it in and continue to move forward. As He continuously fills, we continue to take in and we continue to move forward.
Amen.
So, as we've been, just recap real quick, passion is expressed in hunger and thirst. Our hunger and thirst attract heaven. We can have as much of God as we choose to. And there's always more. There's always a greater infilling. There's always more to take in on a continuous basis. Passion is expressed in intimacy. Now, in the Hebrew, the word yada, and then in the Greek, the word gnosko, I guess, G-N-O-S-K-O, they both mean the same. One is used in the Old Testament, and one is used in the New Testament. But they both mean the same as to know an intimate, comprehensive, personal, face-to-face encounter. So, again, to know an intimate, comprehensive, personal, face-to-face encounter. Now, this word is in the Old Testament is used in the Hebrew in Genesis 4:1, where it says, Adam knew, lay with his wife, or with Eve, and she bore a son. So basically, that word knew is that word yada, which is Adam knew intimately, comprehensively, personally, face to face, and he had an encounter with Eve. And then in Philippians 3:10, the same word is used to when Paul says, I want to know Christ as the power and the power of his resurrection. So again, Paul is saying, I want to know intimately, comprehensively, personally, face-to-face encounter, not only Christ, but the power of his resurrection. So I guess if you could picture that, right? That type of encounter between a husband and a wife, and that just that knowing a person like that, and this is what the same word that describes that between Adam and Eve is the same word that the Holy Spirit uses for us to, or you know, for Paul to teach us that to want to know Christ in that same intimacy, in the same one-on-one basis, that same personal connection, to know Christ like that, to come to know Jesus like that, and to come to know the power of his resurrection like that as well. So this is the intimacy that we're called to, a place where enjoying God and he is enjoying us for the purpose of bringing enjoyment to the other, because that's what love is. Love is love gives itself for the other person. So, you know, Paul is, with this word, the Holy Spirit is telling us to Lord, you know, to come in and to come into this relationship of oneness, of openness, just bare all, so to speak, where there's nothing hidden between Christ and us, between, you know, to know Jesus that way, and to know his power, the power of his resurrection that way. And again, it's a moment in a time where, because where love is sacrificial, we come to pour into him. We come into love unto him. We come into adore him in the same way, because he is love, and he reciprocates that unto us, or vice versa. We come into his presence, and he gives that unto us. And then we return it back to him because we love, because he loved us first.
Amen.
But it's that moment of that intimacy where we should, you know, we're not there with the laundry list, as, you know, though he wants that or whatever, but we're there just to love on him and to pour into him and to just give that affection unto him in the same way as he just reciprocates and gives to us instead. So that's what the Bible is inviting us to. That's part of the fruit, or part of the hunger, as we hunger for more. It's just that intimacy with the oneness of Christ, coming to know him. Not coming to know about him, as good as that may be, but it's coming to know him personally, the personhood of God, who he is, in like manner, allowing him to just search us and come to know us. Fruitfulness flows from intimacy. So John 15:5, if a man remains in me, intimacy, right? We're in him, we're connected, and I remain in him, intimacy, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, intimacy, you can do nothing. So again, without this connection with Jesus himself, being connected like the vine is connected to the branch, where there's that flow right from one to the other, we really can't accomplish anything, is what Jesus is saying. So really, the fruitfulness of our life for Christ, for God, is going to flow, or is going to grow out of the intimacy and the time we spend with him in that secret place. It's about an active thought lifestyle of being connected with him. Because, again, we have to bring the soul into this place. We have to bring our thoughts and just bring them into this place of oneness with Christ. So we have his mind. You know, I think at times we all have those thoughts that don't line up with his mind. So it's an active lifestyle of bringing all of who we are into this place of intimacy with Jesus. I think that's it. So real quick, let's do one activation. Let's all get up.
Sound effects?
Yeah. And find somebody you normally don't minister to or have been ministered to by. You know, something. Don't go to your neighbor who you always sit next to and you roll here with. Just real quick, find somebody, cross the other side, mix the aisles, and just release over them. Just the passion and hunger, and declare over them as you lay hands on them the passion and hunger for more of the Holy Spirit, for intimacy with God, and everything that comes out of that. In closing, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says that God starts the fire, but it's up to the priest, which is who we are, a holy priesthood, to keep it going. So I just want to encourage all of us, as we continue to move forward as in the more of God and the deeper things of God, you know, to just keep that fire going. You know, to spend the time with the Holy Spirit, to spend the time with the Father, spend the time with Jesus, and allow Him to just fan that fire that we all have, because He's already started it in us, that we may go beyond the four walls. Remember, it's always about going beyond the four walls. It's never to be kept in here.
That's right.
And then be fire starters out there. Amen?
Amen.